You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. You ever been tempted to just quit your job on the spot? Go out in a blaze of glory? Okay, there are probably more graceful ways to resign, and we are going to talk about them with Allison Green of Ask a Manager, who joins us every month to talk about navigating life at work. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's say you have decided it is time to move on. You want to quit your job gracefully. Can it be done without burning bridges? And if so, how?
Yes, absolutely it can. It's really normal to move on from jobs. It's a regular part of doing business. And if you handle it professionally, it shouldn't burn any bridges. So handling it professionally means you give a reasonable amount of notice. You spend your remaining time there working to leave your projects in good shape so that whoever comes in after you can see where things stand. And you help with a smooth transition during your notice period. You don't slack off since you're leaving. If you do that, you're meeting your obligations. I will say it's true that some managers take resignations personally, like it's some sort of betrayal. That's not reasonable. You're only going to see it in dysfunctional environments. But I do sometimes hear from people whose bosses handle resignations really badly. They become bitter, they become hostile. But most of the time, resigning is a normal part of having a job.
The question of when to quit is obviously really important. You mentioned the words a reasonable period of time. You know, 2 weeks notice was at one point the standard. I want to read you a comment from one of our listeners, Maria Kinneman, who wrote us to say, I've yet to find a solution, but a tip I will give is I don't give more time than needed if you can afford not to work. I gave a 4-week notice the first time I left a job, and it was enough time to stick me with heavy projects no one wanted and enough time to feel awkwardness on a daily basis. Who wants to prolong a breakup? Keep it as short as possible. Is there some truth to her point there?
Yeah, I think there definitely can be. In most fields, the expectation is that you're going to give 2 weeks' notice. There's some fields and some jobs where maybe the expectation is a little longer, 3 or 4 weeks. Being expected to do more than that is pretty unusual. Some people choose to do more than that, but it's a personal decision, not something that should be imposed on you by your employer. To Maria's point, I think whether it makes sense to choose to give more time depends on what your employer is like. I mean, in some cases, they might treat departing employees really well and ensure that your final weeks there are great ones and they're respectful of whatever time you give them. In other cases, you can really end up being taken advantage of, which sounds like that's what happened to Maria.
Well, what about if they want you to stay on longer or train your replacement, keep answering questions once you're out the door? What do you do with all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So one thing to know is that the purpose of the 2-week notice period isn't that it's for your employer to hire your replacement in that time. Sometimes I hear people saying, oh, I feel guilty. I feel like I need to stay longer because it's going to take them so long to interview candidates and I want to be here to train the person who replaces me. The idea with the 2-week notice period is not that that will be enough time to interview people and hire someone and have them start while you're still there. The idea of the 2 weeks is that it's time to wrap up your work and leave behind information about your projects. So you shouldn't get guilted into staying until they can hire someone. That's not how it's intended to work. With answering questions before you leave, I get a startling number of letters from people who are still being contacted by former coworkers or former bosses from jobs they left a few months ago who still have questions for
them. Wow.
It's good form to be willing to answer a question or two once you're gone. You know, what is the password for X? Or do you know where we can find a particular file? But it shouldn't be more than that. And really, one of the best things you can do during your notice period is to create documentation on the sorts of things people might want to ask you after you're gone, like passwords or contacts, and make sure people know you're leaving that and where they can find it. And then that way, if you do get contacted, hopefully you can just refer them to that document.
Okay, so all of these scenarios we've been talking about, you know, do have this notice period or kind of a process in place. Some people obviously quit in, you know, the proverbial blaze of glory, or they resign on the spot. We actually have a listener, Catherine Teshra, who is joining us on the phone because she had a somewhat similar situation in her first job. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to tell us what happened?
Yeah. So I had been in the job about 6 months. It was my first job right out of college. And every summer, my parents would go to the beach and we would try to join them. And so I had asked my boss, the features editor, if I could have the time off. I knew it would be unpaid because I hadn't been there for long. And she said yes. So the day before, I reminded her that I would be out for a week. And she said, no, you can't go. The city editor is out. Now, I have no idea what the city editor has to do with the features desk, but apparently it was very important. So I appealed to the managing editor, and he sided with her. And my then husband said, well, you know, you got to choose between the family and your job. And I said, well, that's pretty easy. And I quit right there on the spot.
Wow. So what happened? You just walked out the door?
Yeah, cleaned out my desk and walked out the door and didn't look back.
Allison, what would you have done? And also, it kind of sounds like Catherine's bosses were being unreasonable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty horrible. I mean, what the bosses did, not what Catherine did. You had vacation plans. You'd gotten it pre-approved. They should have honored that unless it was a true emergency. I mean, maybe like once in a decade, something might happen where you really do need to ask someone to change plans like that. But when that happens, you apologize profusely to the person and you throw yourself on their mercy. It doesn't sound like that's what happened. So I don't think she was wrong to quit over that. People don't always have the luxury of doing that, of course. But if she felt she was able to do it, more power to her. I mean, I suspect that this wasn't the first sign of dysfunction that she saw there, because you don't generally see this sort of thing happening somewhere that's otherwise well-managed and high-functioning.
Yeah, that's true.
Looking back on it, Catherine, do you still feel happy with your decision?
I do. We had a great vacation, and I came back and ended up getting a really good job with a great employer. And it took a while to get back into my field, which was journalism. But yeah, I have no regrets.
Thank you for telling us your story.
Sure, you're welcome.
Allison, I want to talk about sort of impromptu resignations in general. There are all sorts of reasons for them, for, you know, people taking an ethics stand or, you know, one day you just snap. Any tips for the quitting on the spot moment?
Yeah, I think if it is not something like taking a stand on something that's very important ethically to you, if it's, I just can't stand being here anymore, my boss is driving me crazy, I can't spend another minute with these people, if it's that, I would really encourage people to try to give 2 weeks. You know, you can do it that day. You can have the resignation conversation right then if you're really sure you want to do it. But give 2 weeks, because it is considered such a professional standard that typically if you don't do it, it is going to burn the bridge. And that means you might not get a good reference and it might impact your reputation. So if you can give 2 weeks, I would do it. I would also say maybe don't do it that day. If you can hold off, go home, think about it, sleep on it. Sometimes people change their mind.
What about the question of references? You know, if you are leaving a job and it wasn't the greatest fit for you and, you know, sure, maybe a potential new employer will contact the people you want them to contact, but someone doing their due diligence may contact everybody. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I think to the extent that feels possible for you, you're always better off taking the high ground. Try to preserve the bridge if you can. It's not always an option, but if you can, it will probably make your life easier in the future. Sometimes people think, well, I just won't offer up this particular manager as a reference. And sometimes that works. But sometimes they'll contact whoever happens to be on your resume, or the next job that you're applying for will be with someone who knows your old boss and will just reach out informally. So if you feel like you have the option to leave in a way that's professional and reasonably amicable, it's a favor to yourself to do it.
We got a comment sort of about the protocol of leaving from our listener, Christina Ortiz.
Typically, when someone leaves, they send out a goodbye and thanks email. But I think it's important to give people something tangible to let them know you appreciate any time you spent together. Good or bad, you learn something from everyone you work with, and it's worth acknowledging and being grateful for the lessons and experience that interacting with them provided.
You know, she does bring up this really good point of, you know, not just the goodbye, I'm out of here, here's my Gmail note, but what should you do? Are you someone who comes down in favor of the handwritten note or the food you bring in, or kind of where do you fall on that line?
I love the note. I don't think you need to do gifts or food, although if that is your style, there's no reason you shouldn't. But I've always found the nicest thing you can do, especially with your boss, is to tell them what you got out of working with them. It's an especially nice gesture, I think, to give your boss a note or a card telling them what you learned from them or what you appreciated about their management. That can really cement the relationship at a time when you're walking away and make them more likely to be a resource to you in the future.
Allison Green, who runs the site Ask a Manager, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Got a question for Allison? You can email us at weekend@marketplace.org. Leave us a voicemail, 1-800-648-5114. And if you're listening to this via podcast, leave us a review. It helps other people find us.